Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by PagerDuty. PagerDuty decreases alerting noise for IT operations and developers to ensure that the right engineers are notified at the right time. Increase your uptime and sign up for a 14-day free trial at PagerDuty.com/twit. And by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that helps you save money by offering a fair price for the services you use. Visit allaboutandroid.ting.com to get $25 towards your first device or service and to find out how much you can save. And by Harry's, for guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code AAA when you check out. Hello, welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 239, recorded on Tuesday, November 10th, 2015. We are weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and ask for the Android faithful. Marbles in my mouth. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
This is what happens is when I take a week away.
Exactly.
One it's, week it's and not, I'm punished.
It's not easy to be in that chair. Trust me, I know. It's nerve-wracking. Welcome back. I missed you.
Thanks.
It's good to be back. Good to see you.
I have gifts for you guys.
Flo got us gifts.
Whoa. Okay.
I didn't really get you gifts.
Okay.
You didn't?
I got them.
You didn't
free.
Think about us. You just.
I got them from Jamba Juice.
Happened upon.
From Jamba Juice? Juice?
Yes. For using Android Pay.
So.
Oh, really?
So you went into Jamba Juice. This was the thing that they had like
this
a couple
is the second
of
time
ago.
I've gotten.
Is this still active? Because there's a Jamba Juice near.
It's just whatever they have left. I still have like a box left.
Not many people are using Android Pay at Jamba Juice.
Is the one by Safeway and the Castro still have them? Do you know?
No, probably not. But they said only two people used it in my little small town.
Oh, really?
And
How did I not know about this? I would have gone to Jamba.
It was on Twitter. It was a Twitter sponsored ad.
Right. Now you don't have to go to Jamba Juice
because I can open it.
Jamba Juice came to you.
This is a blind box, right?
Yeah. Let's find out. Jamba Juice is what happens when I run out of fruit to put in my Nutribullet.
Okay, we're gonna open these while we do. Why don't we welcome our guest, Daniel Bader of MobileSyrup.com. How's it going, Daniel?
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I'm actually looking for my Android guys. I don't know where they went.
They ran away, apparently.
I think they were jealous.
They're hiding in the exposed brick.
Yeah.
The exposed brick of Brooklyn?
There's a lot of...
the Brooklyn of Toronto, which is where you are.
I got a weird...
I am a very hipster.
I got a cookie baker.
Oh, you got the cookie one.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's really cute. Does that come off?
Oh my God. That is so weird.
Yeah, he was just
That is
about...
so weird because what book are you reading or listening to right now?
The Martian.
Look at that.
And it's got a little wobble head inside, too. That's a wobbly head. It's kind of hard to see, but it wobbles.
Oh, really? That's kind of creepy. Is he dead?
He's dead.
That's actually kind of bad.
I love this Android. This could be my favorite Android guy I've collected so far.
Can you take his head off? I mean, his helmet?
I'm sure I can take his head off if I tried really hard, but I don't think it's supposed to come off.
It says Android on the butt. Android on the butt.
Oh, yeah. There's a little tramp. A little Android tramp stamp.
There you go. Android on the butt.
These are awesome. Thank you. Yeah. That is so cool.
Thank Jamba Juice.
Are you looking at this going, why did I give that to them?
Yes.
I should have kept it for myself.
Yeah, but it's okay.
You're jealous now, aren't you?
A little bit, but it's okay.
Daniel, I'm sorry we don't have an Android guy for you.
That's all right. You can ship it to me.
Oh, okay. We'll get right
on
that.
Do you know how much it costs to ship things to Canada?
We'll do that.
Yes, a lot.
My guy is named Cookie Master.
Oh, they have names.
And your name is?
The Martian?
You're not on my list.
I might be a secret.
Are you Astro Ape?
I'm Astro Ape?
Yeah, you're one of the question mark ones.
Oh, okay.
Flip it over. Oh, no, you have a different. Oh, no, yeah, see, Astro Ape?
Astro Ape.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Is that a monkey in there?
All right, Astro Ape.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I'm assuming, anyways.
Yeah, who knows?
Anyway, I don't know. I mean, it's.
Thank you, Flo.
It's a skull skeleton thing, imagic, so I'm not sure. It says Kong, for whatever that's worth. Yeah, it must be. Kong. Yes, duh. Down at the bottom, Kong Andre. So
is that the designer?
I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah,
I don't know enough about these things.
And yours
to know
is designed by Andrew Bell.
Yeah, mine is designed by Andrew
Bell.
Ha ha. You're the best.
The OG,
Flo. Thank
Andrew
you.
Bell.
Thank you, Flo. Thank you, Jamba Juice. Thank you, Android.
It's like Christmas in November.
I'm so excited for the holidays. All right, sorry.
Don't go there. Don't go there. It's too soon to go there.
Keeping my guy.
We've got a lot to talk about other than just kind of giving each other gifts, although that will happen more in this episode. You'll see what I mean a little bit later. We're going to be talking about Google's secret plans to build Android phones themselves. Isn't that kind of familiar?
Yeah, spaceships.
Hands-on with the OnePlus X, the BlackBerry Priv or Prive, whatever you want to call it, reviews. We've got a couple of reviews here to talk about. Asus ZenWatch 2. Happened to be wearing it on my wrist. Wow, lots of hardware. Apple Music for Android. It happened. And a whole lot more. Before we get into the news, though, you know, dashboard numbers for Android installs were released.
Time of year.
And Marshmallow registering at 0.3%.
There it is on the board.
Finally, it's ding, on the ding, board. Ding. Just to put this into perspective, Froyo is still there with 0.2%. So at least there's more Marshmallow than there are Froyo. But
it's
not
more,
by much.
More Marshmallow.
There's
than
more
Froyo.
Gingerbreads than there are Marshmallows.
Yeah, yes. That's kind of depressing.
Yeah. Kit Kat still holding strong at 37.8%.
Yeah.
And Lollipop 25.6. So.
Okay.
It's a there big hill to climb.
Do we have any insightful comments to make about these numbers, Daniel?
I think it's a good. I think it's really good that over 50% of Android devices are running KitKat and above.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. That is a big, big, big deal.
That's a big deal. I agree.
It also means that developers can now make great apps without worrying about. Well, I mean, you still lose like 40%, but you can deprecate some of your older features and not worry too much.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the date when Lollipop and the new design aesthetic is
the dominant
more, is the yeah. dominant one.
But so your Kit Kat is like an albatross around your neck at this point.
It's like whoa, it's all the way over in the fours.
Yeah,
you know we left the fours a long time ago. We're fives and above. But no, it's a good thing. I completely agree. I'm just.
Don't
I'm
want any fours.
Happy that I
fives.
Found the
yeah, we found the monkey.
We found the ape in here. It's one of those things where you can turn the helmet around and you get different things. Oh, it's like
when Matt Damon dies, he turns into an ape.
Yep. It's like Man-E faces in He-Man.
Man, I had Man-E faces. He was awesome.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
The robot face.
Anyways, let's talk about some news. Why don't we?
The holidays are right around the corner, and we've got a gift for you. It's called Android News.
Oh, the best gift ever. You shouldn't have.
I can't believe he wrote that hours ago before we talked about the holidays.
I've heard him reciting that.
In the booth working on it with the heads.
Yeah. I think maybe him talking about it ahead of time is what influenced us.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm really excited for the holidays, guys.
You and me both, Brian. You and me both.
The information's Amir Afradi has been all over the story the past couple of days. Just one story after another. Very interesting stuff here. Google's looking to get more involved with its Android hardware. First, Google's been holding meetings with chip makers, kind of looking to build their own system on a chip. To tighten the experience, kind of lessen the disconnect that comes with hardware that isn't actually specifically matched to the chip. The hope is to integrate something in the next year or two, supposedly. Some things Google is talking to chip makers about, things like computational imaging, which could kind of reduce the wait time between images that you snap with a camera. This is just a couple of quick examples. Real-time environmental analysis, which we kind of already have heard of them doing with Project Tango, kind of bringing that into the phone, miniaturized even more, adding memory capacity to the SoC itself, new and improved sensor hubs. Google's all about their sensor, you know, the sensors inside Android devices, and they want to do more of that for real-time detection of things, like measuring distance and just more sensors, essentially, to do cool new things. And then another report that actually posted today says that Google's investigating the idea of building its own phone hardware, just the whole deal from scratch, to control that experience top to bottom. Should be noted that Pixel C, you know, the Chromebook Pixel, which I'm using right here, that's hardware that was built by Google.
Using a Pixel, not a Pixel C.
I'm using the Pixel.
Yeah. I don't want anyone to think that you
also
got
the Pixel.
You got the first Pixel C is here.
Anyways, yeah, burying the lead. Yeah. Completely burying the lead if that were the case. Also, the Nexus Q. Don't want to forget the Nexus Q. That was built in-house. Of course, Google probably wants you to forget about that. Should Google compete with OEMs in this regard? Obviously, Motorola, you know, they had Motorola and then they ejected Motorola. So it was kind of like they were doing this, and now they're not. And now they want to get into it by themselves. What do you think, Flo? You're shaking your head.
Nah.
You don't think so?
No.
Interesting.
Why is that?
I just don't have any desire to have had another manufacturer to list of manufacturers.
Well, that's just any manufacturer.
I know, but it's I don't know. I just, everything, I mean, why can't Google just keep doing the Nexus thing that it's doing? I don't know. It just seems like it should put all its eggs into the software basket instead of trying to go for the hardware.
Do you think maybe...
I'm also like, resistant to change, so...
Okay.
You know.
Well, that explains...
That's where I'm coming from.
I mean, a part of this could just be from the fact that Google's done what it's done for years and keeps coming up against the same criticisms about the
platform. Yeah, fragmentation and all that. No, you're right.
Not, hardware that doesn't necessarily work in harmony with the other pieces on the device. What do you think, Daniel? Do you think this would be a good idea for Google to do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they jettisoned Motorola because they were making bad products. I think that the Motorola name was somewhat tarnished, and I don't think even Google could have revitalized it. And I really think that at the time the deal went through, Samsung had such dominance in the mobile market, and the burgeoning kind of Chinese OEM deluge was on the horizon, that really they couldn't have made Motorola into the company they needed to make it, or that Lenovo could turn it into, because they don't have the relationships with everybody in the cycle and in the chain of building a phone to make it work. But I do think that building a phone that a very specialized sort of on the iPhone model or the upcoming Surface phone, if that exists, where they kind of take everything and they literally do everything. Because if you remember, Motorola was still very much an independent company. It's a very different scenario if you're building it from within the company, the way that Apple and Microsoft do things.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think anything's possible. I'm surprised they haven't done it as of yet. Mm-hmm. You know, and they seem to have been relying on these partnerships and these business deals between manufacturers, and they don't want to take on everything that goes with, manufacturing and supply chain and all that sort of stuff. But if this conversation happened before Alphabet, I would probably lean more on the no side.
Yeah,
but post Alphabet,
that's a good point.
You know, they mm-hmm. how many years now have they had Nest in the fold in the Alphabet family, and they're Nest is doing manufacturing and supply chain and all stuff like that. So I'm sure there are some learnings from there. Is it just a matter of the company being mature enough or in a position to pull it off, mm-hmm. So I think now I lean more on the, yeah, it's possible than the no.
My initial thought when I heard this earlier today was that it had something to do with Project Aura.
Hmm.
That you have to start making your own components if you're going to
build,
your own, build a modular phone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the partners that they have now are kind of, they're not as heavy hitting as...
Right.
Some of the other OEMs.
Right.
That's Google kind of placing Project Aura, a lot on Aura as...
Well, not so much placing a lot on Aura, but not wanting to be dependent on someone else's components for a build your own phone out of components project.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the kind of thing like Aura is probably a different paradigm. I'm sure, the camera lens mm-hmm. and the camera sensor and the battery pack, stuff like that, those all exist, but they've got to be put into the little Lego compartments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And who's going to do that, Little Bits is great, but I don't know if they're ready for it,
Or it's to leverage the idea, because then there was also the thing that Google is thinking about making its own processors, mm-hmm. they're going to be doing another try at wearable hardware. Why not make the sensors for that stuff? Yeah. And if they can make the sensors for that, they can make sensors for phones, and they can work on the SoC for phones. So then it would become this mm-hmm. Google-ized hardware. I don't know. There's
and
lots of possibilities.
Playing into the strengths of itself.
Yeah.
And knowing that hardware and knowing what it can do and how it can sing. How it can sing in harmony.
I just feel like it's not all about just like Google's going to make a new phone. Like, I don't really think that's the big news. I think just that they're trying to prepare the road for something bigger.
I do think that it's interesting that we're hearing all of this around the same time that we're hearing about Android and Chrome OS kind of
converging. It is.
Now, okay, now obviously I was out last week.
Yeah.
You guys were not are not too keen on the convergence, are you? Like, where do you stand on this? I heard from some people that you guys were not digging the Chrome OS Android thing.
Well, I don't know if we weren't digging it. It was. Would you say we weren't digging it, or
is it bad that I don't remember if we were digging it or not? I totally don't remember.
I'm like that excites.
I think there was some excites you.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah. Well,
you didn't give us your opinion last week, so now you have to.
Well, and I will. I feel like it all kind of ties together, but I want an Android that can scale to something like this. Like, I don't think Android on a laptop, like the Pixel C, kind of scares the crap out of me because I already feel like I've tried to use Android as a platform for productivity with a keyboard dock and all this kind of stuff, and never does it feel natural. Yeah, you can do it, but do I want to live my life like that? No, that scares me. And so the idea of a Pixel C that's running Android that's going to suddenly make you productive because it's got it's built with a keyboard accessory, I don't feel like that's enough. If there's some sort of convergence with what I love about Android on a mobile platform and what I love about the Chrome OS on a laptop, and they can figure out some way to make those form factors take the best of those worlds for that particular form factor that you're using, I'm all in. That sounds like a great place to live.
See, and that's what we were missing last when you weren't on, which is the Jason Howe optimism and all these great things can make something great, where we were just kind of cynical and took it almost to the literal point of Chrome OS is going away and Android is the dominant one. And like, I didn't even, honestly, as you're saying that, I didn't even think about the folding in aspect of it and the, like applying the best use case for the different devices.
Sure.
So then you take
Android and Chrome coming together, and we know that Google's interested in making their hardware with Chrome, with the Pixel C and the Chromebook Pixel. And then you take them working on the chip underneath, and then also designing their phone hardware. It really feels like Google is suddenly realizing that all of these years of keeping everything so open was good for launching Android,
right?
But maybe it's not so good for the legacy of Android, and that maybe they need to gain more control over the.
Well, this is the classic argument. I mean, I just saw the Steve Jobs movie, but the open architecture versus closed architecture argument, where it's like control versus openness. And, and I think, I don't think
it's
closed.
Capitalism and socialism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think closed is the way to go. I think having a definitive, this is the way to do it, honestly, I think iOS would be way, as dominant as it is, it'd be way more dominant if there were other manufacturers making phones that ran iOS, but Apple won't allow it. But imagine a world where Samsung is making iOS devices.
Ugh.
What do you think, Daniel? Given all this, all these kind of components falling in at the same time, what's your take?
I think there's something to be said for keeping order among chaos, and I think what we've seen over the last few years is that Android, as orderly as Google makes it appear to be, with its very precisely worded press releases and specific Nexus marketing, Android is a very sprawling, not only platform, but idea. I mean, the open source version of Android is everywhere. It's in devices that Google doesn't even know exist. And I think the next version of Android that will eventually, as I think Jason's right, converge with Chrome OS will be more locked down, the way that Chrome is locked down. Chrome OS isn't... Google updates it directly from the source. You can find an HP Chromebook or a Dell Chromebook, but ultimately you're getting the same Chrome OS experience, and they're doing the same on Android Wear. And Android as a holistic idea of like, here's a bunch of code, go do what you want with it, is very 2008. And I think the 2015 idea of Android is more Android Wear and more Chrome OS and less you know, AOSP.
Mm-hmm. I'm very intrigued.
I'm intrigued as well.
Because, and mind you, this is a show full of people who...
Full of intrigue.
Are and mystery. We're fans of what Google does with Android. So I think just in that regard, curious to see what they come up with. I don't think that that would necessarily be a bad thing for the Android platform. I don't know how that affects the partners, you know, and the other OEMs that are involved with it. But maybe it's okay to ruffle a little bit of feathers at this point. Oh, that's all I'm saying.
I feel like this is a weird segue to the next news item. They kind of
tie in. Yes, they actually do tie in pretty closely together.
Yeah, which is that Android One, Google's going to start opening up Android One to other manufacturers to choose whatever components they want to put in it, which is kind of weird and scary. Companies will now have more freedom to choose which components go into the cheap phones that are sold overseas. Unfortunately, Android One wasn't really much of a hit in India, where it went on sale, I think, what was it, this last year?
Yeah.
One unnamed exec phone maker in India, which was quoted in the Wall Street Journal's original article, had said that Google's new flexibility on Android One hardware requirements leaves little difference between the program and just producing regular Android phones.
Ouch.
And the whole sort of irony behind this is that the whole reason that Android One existed was to help sort of cut some of the fragmentation that was existing overseas in emerging markets, where Google's really trying to push the Android way of life, where people don't even have full-size computers. They just have this little smartphone that connects them to the rest of the world.
Is this another case of a good idea that is now getting ruined by shifting and shifting priorities?
I think it was poor timing on Google's part.
Yeah, tell me about
this. This has been a crazy year for low-cost hardware. Right. And I think when Google was coming up with the Android One program, This probably made a lot of sense leading up to it, because it was like, you know, we got to use our resources to leverage and bring down the cost of hardware. But it turns out everybody brought down the cost of their hardware, and you could make a phone for next to nothing in so many of these areas, as evidenced by this report.
Yeah,
so I think this is kind of poor timing for Google.
There's a Firefox phone that's like $25 overseas. It's like ridiculously cheap.
It might not be poor timing on Google's part, but it might be just a miscalculation in how the market is developing.
Yeah,
when this idea came up, there's no way to know that could happen, and so maybe it's just,
I'm going to offer an alternative point of view here, because I think this article is from Ron. Ron Amadio.
Oh, I know. I didn't write it.
Actually, it's from Ars Technica UK.
Yeah, no, but it is. Oh. Yeah, I think is Ron it? Did pen it.
Oh. Yeah.
Never mind. Sorry.
I think the title is a little bit more cynical than the actual wording of the article. So look at it like this. Google didn't make a mistake with Android One, because it actually worked, in the sense that it taught OEMs that were involved how to build better phones. And if Google knew that the price of components and the quality of low-cost components was the price was going down and the quality was going up, that by this time they could let these manufacturers run amok and put together whatever hardware combinations they want. Because when you come down to it, if you're buying a chip from Qualcomm or MediaTek or any of these other semiconductor companies, you're going to get a pretty good phone out of it, right? Like, we've seen it from every manufacturer. So opening up Android One at this point means that Google's confident enough that they can't screw it up. They're not going to make a bad phone out of good components.
Right. I suppose what...
So that's my take on it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I suppose what Google probably hopes then in this regard, like, one thing that them kind of controlling the Android One kind of influence and experience gives them is that they're able to dictate the fact that the companies that are making those devices for those areas are using Google and Google's Android underneath. So I'm sure Google hopes that if others are doing this for themselves, at least stick with Android, Google's Android, so that Google doesn't miss out on a piece of that pie. Because as altruistic as the Android One program can seem, it still exists to make Google money.
It's market share. Yeah, this is a market that we can come in and we can do this program to dominate
and capitalize off of the massive amount of people that have yet to get onto our services.
Food for thought.
So
No clean segue here as we move on. Nexus 5X owners.
Speaking of upside down.
Talking of upside down.
I don't know.
Nexus 5X owners have been complaining of upside down photos, and we got the answer why. The tech lead for Android's camera framework, Inoville Talavala, says that due to manufacturing limitations, the camera was mounted in reverse landscape in order to fit properly, and as such, old developers using the old camera API must explicitly set the preview rotation. Otherwise, things appear upside down.
WTF?
So the short answer is that developers need to fix their apps.
Right.
The long answer is maybe Google should have let people know. They probably did. I mean, there's probably some sort of alert, but
Don't worry about it, buddy. You can put the camera on upside down. Nobody will notice.
Sometimes you need to do, like, it's just not fitting. It's not fitting. What are we going to do? Well, let's just turn it upside down. Okay, fine.
So,
this is just a weird little quirk. So, if you have a Nexus 5X, that's why. And if there's a camera app that you like, that your picture's appearing upside down, send them a note. Send the developer a note to the Google Play Store and let them know they need to do this. So,
Leo, just before the show, was back there with his 6P, and he noticed that an app, I can't remember which app he was playing with, that it did the upside down
camera. On the 6P, though, too.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting.
I was like, okay. Yeah. So I don't know. Who knows? But it has something to do with the old API. And
well, as I continue to mull over my next phone decision, which we're going to talk about later in the show, I'm taking this into account. Now, this will be fixed over time. So bear with it.
With most of the modern current camera apps.
Yeah, exactly.
There might be older ones that developers have abandoned, whatever. Let's read an email here. Kenny writes in to say, hey, guys and or girls, I ordered the Nexus 5X as soon as I got my check. And I really liked the device, coming from the Google Play Edition Moto G, in essence the 2013 version, stuck on 5.1. It's great. However, I've had a few strange things. On the first or second day of getting the device, after updating all apps and installing the software update, I turned it off to give it some time and then turned it back on again. I got roughly an hour and 40 minutes of screen on time and ended my workday with about 50% battery. I work around 5 hours a day. I've also had a few freezes. Once I was casting the screen and using Translate's camera to translate words, which is understandable to me, but some other times it would freeze up and then just lock itself completely, my fingerprint being unable to unlock it. Anyway, I've only had the phone for about 3 days as of writing this. I was in the community of Nexus owners, and someone said that my experiences were somewhat concerning and I should return it. What do you think? The Google Store does allow 15 days to return, so I should be okay. I thought this email was just kind of a good reminder that if you're buying from the Play Store, you do have time to return it. It's hard to say from what you're writing here whether this is like system level or just random quirkiness of the phone.
I don't know. I mean, given everything that we've heard about the battery and doze and all that sort of stuff, to go through a workday with an hour and 40 minutes of screen time and end with 50% battery doesn't sound right to me. Sounds like something weird's going on with this device.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, the 5X was not as phenomenal, in my opinion, to the 6P.
Yeah.
It does have some of its quirks.
This
just sounds like a really bad unit. Like, maybe you should call customer support and try and get a new unit.
Yeah, and mind you, with this new crop of Nexus devices, I feel like I am probably, because I was one of them when I got my first review device, the Nexus 6P review device that I got, there was something weird going on and I had to get it replaced. I feel like I'm hearing a lot of this.
Yeah.
And again, I may just be tuned into it because I was pre-exposed to that initially. But I don't know if there was some sort of lack of quality control of some sort, but hey, you've got the 15 days to return it through the Play Store.
Take advantage of it.
You might as well.
Especially
you have nothing to lose.
If the phone is locking and you can't unlock it, like, that's not cool.
If it's repeatable.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know
exactly,
what I mean? If it keeps happening, then for sure, you might as well swap it out.
You know, guys, if Google made their own phones,
this wouldn't happen.
Wouldn't happen.
Everything would just be perfect.
Oh, I know.
All the time.
Exactly. 100% of the time. Daniel, real quick before we move on, I'm sure you've played with one, if not both, and might actually own one for your daily driver. What did you think of the new Nexus devices?
I have been really enjoying the 6P. I think it is the best Android phone I've ever used by a mile.
Wow.
I think the 5X is... So we're a bit skewed up here because our exchange rate is in the toilet. So our prices are insane.
I feel like you can blame us for that.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
And so yeah, when the Nexus 5 came out, it was pretty much at par, and now the 5X is like $120 more than the US version.
Jeez.
So wow. So it's $499 Canadian.
Not worth it.
Yeah, and the 6P is $699 Canadian. So that means that everybody who has like our dollar dropped. I don't want to get into like a big thing, but anyway, it dropped really fast. So everybody's like, what the hell is up with all the phones being so expensive over the last year? But I still think that these two phones are like the best value for money you can get on Android. Like, I mean, there's some other phones that rival it, but they're pretty close.
Yeah.
Strong words.
Yep. And repeatedly we're hearing this about the 6P.
I feel like the 5X has way more competition in its price range than the 6P. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, and I actually put this in my 5X versus 6P, which one should you buy, little story that I did last week. And yeah, that was like the 6P, perfect for its price.
Yeah.
Like just everything that you get for it. The 5X, you can get a Moto X with a couple more extra features.
Not that it's an outright bad device.
No, it's not a bad device. It's just that, yeah, there's just more things to choose from. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, buying a $300 dress versus a $60 dress.
I know.
Yeah. I know you know. I know you know.
I know. Okay. Let's thank our first sponsor of today's episode. That is PagerDuty. It's an operations performance platform. And basically what that means is you get visibility and actionable intelligence that helps you to increase the uptime of your apps, your servers, your websites, your databases, helps keep you running. If you rely on your software and services to always be up, PagerDuty is an essential tool. As a hub of your operations, PagerDuty connects all of your systems into a single view where you can see critical events across all of your monitoring tools, so you know exactly what to look for. There are over 100 ready-to-use integrations, New Relic, Keynote, AppDynamics, just to name a few. You can roll your own with PagerDuty's APIs if you want to get in there and kind of create something tailor-made. You can decrease your resolution time. When an incident occurs, PagerDuty actually notifies the right team, the right member, based upon on-call schedules and personalized alerting preferences. And if those alerts are missed, PagerDuty will then automatically escalate those issues to another team member until it's responded to. Keep bugging until it gets the attention it deserves. Dispatch alerts by automated phone calls, SMS, email, push notifications, and resolve incidents on the go so you can just live your life, even when you're on call. And incidents are automatically filtered and deduplicated to ensure only actionable alerts are delivered. PagerDuty's analytics tools will also identify common problems, and that basically allows you to be proactive, making your system improvements, preventing future outages, all the important stuff. And they are relentless when it comes to reliability. It's fully distributed across multiple data centers and multiple hosting providers. There are also multiple contact method providers per method, so you'll never miss an alert. And you can customize it to fit how you and your team work, regardless of your location or your size. PagerDuty is trusted by thousands of companies: Microsoft, GitHub, Boeing, Nike, Pinterest, Box, just to name a few. You can get the right engineer on the right problem at the right time. Visit pagerduty.com/twit to sign up for a free 14-day trial. And for as little as $19 a month, you can increase your uptime with PagerDuty. That's pagerduty.com/twit. And we thank PagerDuty for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. All right. We got some cool hardware this week. Let's talk about it.
Yes.
The Priv. You and Daniel have both spent time with the Priv. I guess I should ask you first and foremost, Flo. Priv or Prive? What is it?
Priv.
Okay.
It's supposed to stand for privilege or privacy.
Right.
It's privacy, actually.
Oh. Privacy. There you go. I feel like you need to say, you need to call it the Priv, like D-A space.
The Priv.
The Priv. Yo, it's the Priv. Yeah.
The Priv.
Omar coming.
Drake calls it the Priv.
The Priv. So what do you guys think?
I think it is an interesting device. I actually gave it a pretty good score.
Wow.
I gave it a 4 out of 5. Yeah,
so you have a review up on Greenbot.
Yeah, I have a review up. I gave it a 4 out of 5. Nice. It's actually a really good implementation of Android. It's actually a pretty good Android phone. The only thing is that I wasn't really impressed with the keyboard. I actually thought it was a little too small for me. Getting used to.
It's too small for you. How big is it for me?
The problem is that I had longer nails when I wrote this review, and I was just thinking, like, this phone is made for people with shorter nails. Like, they can, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way that I type, it didn't work, but there was a bit of a learning curve. Eventually, I got to get used to using it, but it was still kind of weird. But it has really, like, it has a really good camera, actually. Like, really decent. It's not amazing like the GS6 or the LG G4, but low light, you know, performance is pretty dang good, even if it does overexpose a little bit. You know, it's got a couple extra privacy features, but it's still on Lollipop, so that's kind of a super bummer. Yeah.
Now, Daniel, you've also posted a review of this, and actually, I think, do you have it in hand right now?
Yeah. Hang on.
Oh, I can't wait to see this in person.
I got her.
Excellent. Show me the slide. Oh, yeah. There we go. What do you think? What's your take?
Waterloo did good. They made a good phone. They are overstating the privacy advantages by a lot.
Yeah.
And so I talked to a security researcher who did a bunch of initial testing on the phone, and they basically found that BlackBerry is claiming that they've changed and hardened the kernel to the extent that it's superior to the other Android phones out there. But in reality, it's not even that much more secure. In fact, Lollipop is less secure from a user space perspective. And because the hardening of the kernel is only referencing a bunch of improvements to the Linux kernel rather than actually implementing them. There's a lot of like low-level stuff there that I don't really want to get into, but basically there's a bunch of references to this thing called GR security. It's basically a self-healing, kind of like a self-healing patch for the Linux kernel that when it gets infected with something, it tries to correct it itself. And there's references to implementing that, but it's not actually implemented in its current version. And then the user space stuff, like Lollipop is inherently less secure than Marshmallow. So people claiming that BlackBerry invented Android security with the Priv, they're kind of overstating it because the Marshmallow is just more secure, period.
I was totally thinking that too when I was using the phone. I was like, what is the point of putting all this stuff on here when you're just going to have to update the phone to Marshmallow and you're going to get some of the things that your other apps do already. And anyway, like privacy has just changed. People don't worry as much about like BYOD because you don't have that wall up between your company as much as you used to.
Sure.
To, you know, you can just choose your device most of the time.
So swiping over the keyboard, I'm watching your video here, that actually scrolls up and down. It detects your swiping on the keyboard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
You can use it as a scroll wheel, like the original BB.
That's neat.
Yeah. They implemented this in the Passport. Did you ever use the Passport?
I did not.
No, I never did.
I remember laughing about the Passport.
That's the square one, right? Or the square-ish?
It's the square one, both in physical form and its, like, soul.
Would you say it's a little L7?
L7.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a weird device, but they implemented it in that originally, and it's actually quite a neat feature. And I agree with you, Flo. Like, I don't have long nails, but when I was using the phone, I had like slightly longer nails on my thumbs, and I actually had to cut my nails just to get
the
physical keyboard working properly.
I had to cut my nails to like use
which is
the keyboard
weird, right?
Maybe that's a feature.
And my nails weren't that long.
Maybe it's a sanitary.
Cut your nails, gross people.
You need a manicure. Yes.
And I just think the physical keyboard isn't as fast as the virtual one.
Like, yeah,
it's made. improvements to virtual keyboards.
And
we've also gotten very used to using virtual keyboards. You know, when BlackBerry was a dominant thing, physical keyboard was just the way it was.
I had a physical keyboard on my LG, like, texting phone. Like, my friends had Sidekicks with physical keyboards on them. Like, physical keyboards were a thing.
It was just the way it was.
Were the thing.
And I had a learning curve when I came over to my first smartphone, which was the HTC Incredible, but...
my God, your first smartphone was the HTC Incredible?
Yes, because I
loved that phone.
It was a great phone. I had it for like 2.5 years. Good. It died in a death down an escalator at CES. Aww. That's how it died.
Isn't that metatextual?
Yeah.
Think about that.
It tumbled down the escalator. It was really bad.
Well, at CES.
I've died at CES a couple of times, actually. Yeah, myself. Yeah, CES. It drives you there. Brian, you were an incredible guy, right? Well, I mean, you're incredible.
You're an incredible guy.
Yeah, I'm surprised you remember that. That was my first smartphone as well.
I remember that because you clung to that incredible forever.
Yes.
I had that phone for 4 years. Yeah. I bought like two extended batteries for it.
Had some junk in the trunk when you were done with it. That extended battery was like twice.
You'd buy the case and like cut it out. Yeah. We should do like an Android history series one day.
Android history?
Our Android journeys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That we should.
Yeah.
I like that. Let's remind ourselves of that.
Let's add it when there's a slow news week.
Let me tell you what phone I've never had. I've never had a BlackBerry.
Oh, I have.
I had one.
Mm-hmm.
I had one
when I worked at CNET, and I actually really liked it. But it was my first smartphone. Like, period. It was my first smartphone that wasn't... you know, feature flip.
Was this like pre-iOS, like pre-iPhone existence?
It was right about the time of iOS, but at that time, CNET was not handing out Apple or iOS devices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure at that time I wanted it because it was all the hotness.
Yeah.
But what I got was a BlackBerry, and I just wanted something smart that I could have in my pocket, and that gave me it. And I actually liked it.
I hated my BlackBerry.
I couldn't go back to it.
I had a BlackBerry like around 03, 04, 05, like 06, like around there. And that was on my work phone. And my personal phone was an old Windows Mobile HTC slider. Like the brick with the little with the nubbin antenna.
Yeah.
I love that phone.
Everybody loved that phone.
The BlackBerry. Like, I'm like, this isn't a smartphone. This is a smartphone. And
that's not a knife.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a knife.
Interesting. All right. Cool. I can't imagine the PRIV actually stands for privilege.
It does.
There's a whole marketing campaign surrounding around it.
This is the most tone-deaf marketing campaign.
It's like this beautiful ballerina, and she's like she's a ballerina, right? I could be wrong. But anyway, she's ballerina-ish, and she's like using it, and she's like swinging around. And
yeah,
like,
it depends on where you stand on whether privilege is
privacy,
something to be proud of.
Yeah, exactly. Privacy, I could get. I mean, but privilege is like Daniel, you said it right.
It's the privilege to spend way too much money on this phone. It should not be $700.
And I've always had a problem with BlackBerry with their choices of fonts.
Go back, Brian, to that part where it says pop-up widgets. As a bunch of nerds, if we can find it, nerds on here, can we all acknowledge that BlackBerry stole this feature from Action Launcher? Because you guys have had Chris Lacy on the show, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They basically just ripped off Action Launcher from that.
That is, like,
But that's how innovation goes.
Widgets, which, by the way, they're super hard to use.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't work nearly
as
well.
They don't work very well.
Yeah. Chris Lacy, I'm on your side, man.
All right. That's painful.
Also,
Oh, look, Porches of Privacy
is
with
that
Brian
Adams.
Brian Adams.
I
right there. You
love
know it's
Brian
true.
Adams. Please, the left, you know it's true. Arm. Everything I do, right I there. Do it for you.
Yep.
The most important Canadian.
How on earth?
Listen,
guys, we need... okay, BlackBerry marketing meeting. Listen, we need
a
celebrity.
Video on there.
We need a celebrity to really... exemplify the BlackBerry Priv lifestyle. I don't know. I'm thinking somebody contemporary, somebody that people can connect with.
Helena Bonham Carter?
Yeah, I think it is.
What is she doing in this?
That's so amazing. Weird.
She's making money.
I gotta say, Brian Adams looks good, though.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No hate on Brian Adams. That's not happening on this show. That's not happening.
Lord.
Right? Well, I want to see the Priv in person. Hopefully, we'll see that.
I want to see Brian Adams in person.
We'll work on getting him as a guest.
With a Priv. I want to see him holding a Priv. You know it's true.
Had, at the BlackBerry Passport launch in Toronto, they had Wayne Gretzky come out.
Oh, my gosh.
He did the most awkward, like, you know those celebrity talks to the CEO stage conversations on the on stage? It was the most awkward version of that I've ever seen.
Wow.
It was terrible.
That's just amazing. All right.
He didn't use the BlackBerry Passport as a hockey puck. Just go like.
Maybe that would be a really good drop test video.
Can do your marketing.
Another phone. Well,
oh, yeah,
another phone company.
Another phone. I want to see this.
That can be a little challenge when it comes to marketing. OnePlus.
Yes, it is a challenge when it comes to marketing the OnePlus because it's not actually available to buy. No, it is, but you have to get an invitation, right, which is super frustrating.
Super frustrating.
But this is the OnePlus X, which is the phone that was launched last week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
All the weeks are coming into a blur for me. It's really shiny, and anytime I touch it, my fingerprint gets like stuck on it. It's already like gross and fingerprinty. I don't know if you could see
that. So it's glass on the front and the back? Yeah.
It's black onyx glass.
Flo, I've got your product
there
shot.
Right over here. It's
don't
shiny.
Put it on any surface. It will fall off.
Look how like...
Oh, it's one of those things where you set it on a flat surface, yeah, and if there's even like, any sort of slope, it'll just like slowly but surely scoot across.
You can't
it's the
use
next
it in San Francisco.
All over again.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Be careful with that.
I haven't
it's
really...
It's a nice looking device, I guess.
It is actually super nice device.
Contour to it.
What is this, like $250? It's still super nice for like $250.
Wow.
I haven't really set it up yet. Like I'm starting my review on it today. Plan to get that up next week. So I'm going to spend the week with it and kind of see what it's like.
I have a friend who got his hands on ones and he was raving about it. He just loves the way it feels. And
it feels really nice.
Yeah.
It's a great size.
It is a really nice size. And you know what?
I really like the look of the edges, like the kind of rounded, curved glass edging. Even though I know that means that the glass is totally exposed, I just love the look of that. I think I first saw that
for
with
$250,
the,
if you break this, just go buy another
DNA.
One. Don't be cheap. Go
I suppose.
Buy another one.
That's your privilege.
Yeah, it's your privilege. You know, the little headphone jack. I'm not very good at this multitasking camera thing that's happening right now, but I'll figure it out someday.
And then it is USB-C?
Speakers on the... No, just Reg speaker or USB port.
You're going to pay more for that USB-C stuff.
Yeah, there's no USB-C.
Okay.
But there is a Snapdragon 805.
Okay.
801.
And 3 gigs of RAM.
Is it 801?
It's
sorry, 801. Gosh, my numbers are off today. No, because it's a
but remember, the 801 is actually faster than the 810 at single core single core performance. So,
yeah, that's true.
I don't know if that matters. But
3 gigs of RAM, though.
That's not bad. That's
Android 5.1 right now, the Oxygen OS 2.1.2. It's very dark. I actually changed the wallpaper on this because it was like super masculine. I just wasn't into it. So, it was this silly little. Molten, like, Onyx, like,
yeah.
Droid.
Not into that.
Droid.
But other than that, I mean, this is a really nice phone. It's really thin. Up? It's really, like, sleek and nice.
Yeah,
and...
see, I just love that rounded edge thingy.
Yeah. That's why I like the Nexus 6P, actually.
Because
it just feels like this nice piece of glass.
Yeah, but I see what you mean. I mean, it's smudge-tastic.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine eating a burger and then like picking up your phone because somebody's texting you? What are we up for tonight?
And
it's just like all like, yeah,
that's not good.
I suppose you're not supposed to eat a burger while you use this phone. That's the moral.
I
see little kind of ridges on the side. This is not a bad looking.
No, it's a super nice
device.
Looking.
OnePlus
has never
very
made
old
another
iPhone.
Phone.
Very old iPhoney.
Very comfy.
It looks like the old iPhone.
It does.
Yeah.
But
cool.
Yeah, OnePlus is not they're good they're great designers. They got that down.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the selling.
It's the selling part.
They can make the devices. It's the selling the devices that they have a hard time with.
Exactly. Because this like I would love to use this as a throwaway phone.
Well, I don't know.
Colin Bunky like throwaway phone, but
you mean like
all these
you mean like I'm going skydiving. What phone am I going to take?
Yes, I was making a drug dealer's reference, but
oh, like a burner? You want to,
a burner phone.
For $250, this is a really good quality for $250.
And we're seeing more and more of that, right?
Look
now.
At all those
great
fingerprints.
Time for mid-range phones. But yes, fingerprint-tastic.
So you're good doing job, a review. OnePlus. I'm doing a review
next week.
Good job on design. Let's see how it works.
All right.
Not bad. Unfortunately, I don't think I'll be able to have cellular with it because
why?
I actually don't know if this is Verizon compatible. I don't think it is.
Oh, yeah. It isn't.
Womp womp womp.
And you won't get LTE on AT&T either.
Shrug.
Nice Wi-Fi device you got there, Flo.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll work on T-Mobile. Give it to Ron.
There you go. Yeah, see?
There you go.
That's his new phone. Done.
Unlimited bandwidth.
You're getting so many ideas right now.
I feel like lots of options.
T-Mobile's getting a little Scientology-like for me. I don't know.
I like it.
Oh. I don't know.
So we talked actually.
I'm a proud T-Mobile customer.
Okay, let's talk about this real quick.
Yeah. We can
not spend a lot of time on it, but T-Mobile had a big thing today. They had a big event.
A thing.
And basically, I don't know that the exact, like, I didn't put the story in the rundown, but essentially, if you have a certain plan of theirs, it pays for certain video streaming services like Netflix, all that bandwidth, so it doesn't count against your bandwidth usage. They've been doing this for music for a while, and now they're applying it to video. Daniel, before the show, you said that you had some choice words about this. Where do you stand?
Yeah, I just think that this is going to have a negative impact on net neutrality, and if it sets a precedent for the carriers, it will lead to a kind of bifurcation of what we think of as the internet, where they sort of they provide value judgments on certain content providers. So, you know, if you want to watch Netflix, great, but if you want to watch and get unlimited bandwidth from it, that's great, but if you want to watch a smaller independent content provider from, you know, Iowa or whatever, and they don't have a big budget, then you won't be able to do that. And that's kind of that's what I think about it. I mean, the big names get recognized. We got Hulu, we got Netflix, there's HBO Go and Now. But like this is going to lead to an advantaging of the bigger companies. And that's not good because the internet is supposed to be literally neutral. It's not supposed to treat content differently, depending on what it is.
Yeah. On one hand, as a user, that sounds like a really great feature. But on the other hand, you're sending a signal as a consumer agreeing to that, and the fear is that this suddenly branches out into all different areas, and suddenly in a couple of years' time, the internet is a different structure than what it has been, and that's kind of a scary thought.
I wish I could source my own internet, like I can source my own plants, you know, or source
homegrown
my own water.
Internet.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That'd be nice. Oh, to dream.
That'd be very hipster of me.
So that said, let's get into some hardware.
Where?
All right, so the holidays are approaching. You might be looking for that special gift for that special someone in your life who wants a little bit of luxury and a little bit of smartness on their wrist. Well, finally, the Tag Heuer Connected Watch, which is modeled after their Carrera model, as is out and released. It's made of titanium, 46.2 millimeters across, 12.8 millimeters thick. It's got an Intel processor, 4 gig of storage, no GPS or heart rate monitor, though. It is $1,500.
There we go.
And it includes exclusive watch faces and the Connected to Eternity service that allows owners to trade in their Tag connected watch in 2 years for a mechanical Tag watch. In this case, eternity is defined by 2 years.
Well, and then the thought being, of course, that the mechanical watch is going to last forever.
Exactly. Yeah.
What does this say about their actual thoughts about Android Wear? I can't figure it out.
Enjoy this fad, Richies. When you're done, we'll give you an even better watch that you can hand down to your son or daughter.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. I kind of love that. I'm really into that.
It does put a little bit of a timer on the watch. Like within 2 years, you can turn it in.
I just feel like anytime you're selling something and saying, well, in 2 years, you're not going to want this thing that you're paying $1,500 for anymore. Planned, so we'll give you this other thing, whatever.
Yeah, that's strange.
I don't know. I just think it's a strange commitment to make to the things you sell.
It's there. There are people. I know there are people who swear by the Tag Heuer brand and
Heuer.
Heuer. Twitter, tag Tug Hauer. I don't know. But people who live and die by it. So yeah. For these watch folks and, you know, the watch enthusiasts, this is a nice little entry point for them for $1,500.
That they can wear on their private jets.
And no heart rate monitor or GPS.
So we won't know how fast your heart is beating when you're up in air on your way.
Cool. They don't care. It's all about style.
So you've got a stylish little thing on your wrist.
Yeah, you do.
Do I?
Actually, it looks pretty good on you.
It does. I noticed that earlier in the show. I did a double take. I was like, what's that on his wrist?
Although, I wonder if the smaller one would look better on your wrist.
So I had the smaller one. Actually, I meant to bring the smaller one. I'm just getting rid of all my notifications. I meant to bring the smaller one because I was wearing it for a couple of days, and then I switched to the larger one. This is the ASUS ZenWatch 2 Flow. You spent some time with this yourself, and you reviewed it. What did you give it?
Like, I really liked it.
You really liked it.
So it's funny because I said, like, yeah, it finally gets me to, like, wear a smartwatch every day, and I just am too lazy to wear a smartwatch every day. That's essentially what happened with my life.
I don't know. I got to say, this watch band... I hate it. It feels like plastic. Yeah, it feels like a firm piece of plastic.
They have a ton of other ones.
I'm sure they do, and I'm not going to rate it on
that. The women's watch is actually the women's size, or the smaller size. It's much more comfortable.
I would say that the smaller size actually fit my wrist a little bit better. The thing that bugs me about the ASUS ZenWatch 2 here is the bezel aspect. I like the curved display, but man, the bezels are ginormous on this thing, and especially on the small one. Because it's already a small screen, but then the bezel kind of inches in, and it ends up looking like this tiny little window on this rather large watch face. It just feels like a lot of wasted space, and I don't know. Yeah. I still have some time to play around with it and give it a full review, but I couldn't say that this is the watch that I buy for myself.
The face looks nice.
Even though
the bezel is big, but it looks
I almost wish it was less long, though. You know what I mean? And maybe a little more just like square as opposed to...
Are you guys having smartwatch fatigue at all? Like just from, because after the Tag Heuer on yesterday, I was just like, oh, I'm just so exhausted from all these smartwatches coming out. Not really seeing like, there's not really much innovation. It's just like, it's a new style and it kind of matches the clothing that's coming out this year, which is exactly like how clothes are worn, but clothes are a lot cheaper.
I don't know. What do you think, Daniel? Do you think the fashion aspect of Android Wear and wearables is kind of fading right now?
Fading? I don't know. I think that they're finally becoming fashionable. I think if you look at the Moto 360, they're, you know, just the small things they did to expose the lugs to. Offer choice. I bought the 42mm with that really cool bezel, with a brown band. Like I only wear watches with brown bands. I love I love that brown leather band.
You look like a guy who wears a lot of brown leather bands.
Thanks. Yeah,
it's the brick.
My super hipster looking shirt.
It's the exposed brick. That's what it is.
Yeah, and the shirt. I meant that as a compliment, by the way.
Oh, I know. So I'm actually wearing the Gear S2 right now. Have you guys talked about that?
We have not shown it off on the show. We talked about it very briefly. And that's not actually Android Wear, right?
That's Tizen.
No.
Tizen.
But it's interesting because the thing about it is that it's not remarkable. It's the first Samsung product that I've worn or that I've used that doesn't draw attention to itself. And it's just a watch, and they made that very clear. And I kind of like that about it because these aren't things that are meant to draw attention to themselves unless they are working, you know, like unless you're turning it on and swiping through the menus. But like ultimately, if you're using it the way they intended, it's going to be a notification tool and a watch, which is kind of what it was meant to be.
Agreed.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I have kind of settled into a place where if I leave the house and I'm not wearing my watch, I don't go back to get it.
Yep.
But I usually think to put my watch on when I leave the house. And it's just kind of part of my habit. And I enjoy not having to pull out my phone all the time for any notification that comes through. So I enjoy the kind of that aspect of it. But I know, but I understand what you're saying. It's kind of like, okay, cool, another watch.
It's like the Kardashians. There's just too many of them.
Don't I know.
Anyway.
The Kardashians are BlackBerry Priv ambassadors.
Are they?
They are?
I'm sure they are.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering about her, if she would like leave the iPhone to start like going to, but...
Well, they are privileged, so I guess that makes sense.
Ridiculous. All right, can we please move on?
Yes, we will. We will.
As soon as you start using the K word, I'm just like, I'm this close to walking
out. Don't turn off quite yet. We've got plenty of more show to talk about. It doesn't involve Kardashians. You aren't bringing the Kardashian game into the arena.
Stop saying it. Stop saying it.
Okay, okay.
I wouldn't do that to you.
I played that game. It wasn't
I like being here. I don't want to get kicked off.
All right, quick break. We'll thank this week another one of this week's sponsors, which is Ting.com. Ting is a U.S. mobile phone service on two nationwide networks now. It's T-Mobile, GSM, and Sprint's CDMA networks. It's a phone service that doesn't believe in contracts, doesn't believe in overage fees or unlimited plans. It's coverage on those two nationwide networks. So Ting's the first mobile service provider to allow you to have devices on different networks under the same easy-to-manage account. Superior pricing. You have an average monthly bill of around $23 per device, and Ting is helping people just save a lot of money on their monthly cell phone bills. With Ting, how you use your phone determines what you pay. If you use less, you pay less. There's no overage charges or penalties. Ting has no contracts. You're only going to pay for what you use every month. And if you're stuck in a contract, Ting will actually credit you if you're paying an early termination fee to come to Ting. They offer 25% credit of your ETF up to $75 per device for coming on over. You can go to ting.com/ETF if you want to read up on more information in order to do that. 80% of devices can come to Ting right now. You can use the device checker at ting.com/BYOD. And you can see if the device you already have can make the move over to Ting. It probably can. 80% of devices can. A powerful online account control panel is part of the Ting experience. You can take control of your account, see your usage, your bills in an online control panel. It's just very easy to use and very straightforward. And if you're looking to upgrade, not a problem. Ting has plenty of options for you in their online shop. Once you have the device you want to use with Ting, they'll walk you through getting started, including bringing over your existing number, or if you need to get a new one, you can do that as well. Save money and better manage your cell phone usage with Ting. Viewers of All About Android can save $25 off select devices or mobile phone service just for getting started. Go to allaboutandroid.ting.com. That is allaboutandroid.ting.com. And check it out for yourself. And we thank them for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. All right, real quick, we got some apps to check out.
All right, I know we all use lots and lots of apps, and often there's that one key bit of functionality that we're just waiting for. We're waiting for the developers to get around to doing
it. Make it happen.
Sure enough, after much teasing at Google I.O., Google has now added offline search and navigation for the Google Maps app.
Offline search and navigation. Offline.
Yeah, offline. It's amazing.
No applause? No applause?
Yeah. So maps are indexed locally, which means that now you can search and get turn-by-turn directions even when you lack connectivity. So, great use case. I went to a wedding a couple months ago south of San Jose at a secluded Swedish resort area in the woods, and as soon as I got off of the freeway, I went about maybe 200 feet and then no longer had cell service for the next 8 hours. When I got back to the freeway that night, I had like 90 messages, my sister asking if I was dead, right? Because I just had no connect. I didn't know that this was going to be in a place where I couldn't have connectivity, but it also took me about 45 minutes from the freeway to get there, and thank God I had I thought ahead and I downloaded the directions and had them local. But if I didn't, I totally could have used this.
Man.
So there you go.
Yep.
So, yep. Thank you, Google. Oh, we're so blessed. Hashtag blessed. Anyway, offline search and navigation. So there you go.
Woohoo!
Good stuff there. Hey, I got a little treat this morning when I turned on my phone. Ooh. Let's see here. I'll show it to you.
What did you get?
I got the new Play Store redesign.
Oh.
Wow.
That's huge.
Wait a minute.
Look at that.
I don't think I got that.
I know. It just appeared for me. It's like the slowest rollout of a Play Store redesign ever. Galaxy of Heroes. Pre-register. I could pre-register for it. So there you go. New look and feel for the Play Store. A lot of things are the same, but they're splitting out entertainment and games, and you can dial into categories further kind of with a new layout. Yeah, it looks really good. It's nice and bubbly. I don't know if the app pages themselves look much different. Let's go into bakery story too. Sure, why not? It's up at the top there.
Nope.
Yeah, no, that looks about the same, doesn't it?
Man, do you guys remember when Google Play Store was the Android Marketplace?
Yes, I do. I still call it the Android Marketplace every once in a while when we do the arena.
Yeah,
no kidding.
It has come a long way, baby.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, yeah. We celebrated 8 years of Android on our site this week by looking back at the original HTC Magic and Dream. I think in the US they were known as the MyTouch 3G and the G1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I had
and
a G1.
Those phones were awesome.
I love the G1. That was great.
And a lot of people still hold on to them.
Well, yeah. They're relics.
I have no idea where mine is. I wish I held on to it. I think I brought it in to an old job to debug an Android app, and then I left that job, and I didn't take the phone with me. Yeah, so
I did that with a hard drive of stuff once.
Yeah. Gotta be careful with the hard drives of stuff.
Yeah.
Look, nothing but Android Wear apps.
Nothing but Android Wear. Great. Cool.
Wait, Pinterest is on Android Wear?
Apparently.
That seems counterproductive.
I don't know.
Like,
I mean, it says it is.
Like, could
I trust
like,
that
oh,
it is.
Let me pin this recipe. Does it have the watch face thingy?
Nope.
Tab? No.
Who knows?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Anyway.
What about YouTube?
Oh, yeah. YouTube. YouTube now has 3D videos. Well, they're going to start doing a little bit of VR. They announced last week. I think there's already a sampling that you can try out with your Google Cardboard. You can pop your phone in there, do a little VR YouTube.
I mean, they've had cardboard-compatible videos on YouTube for a while, and I think now what they're doing, from what I understand, let's see here. Yeah, I got it. Whatever. Bob Ross, Quiet Stream. Bob Ross.
They're making every single video in YouTube's massive library viewable on cardboard.
Why won't
just
it
open up YouTube's Android smartphone app, play a video, and tap the cardboard icon.
Okay.
Then you can run around it.
Why can't I?
I'm assuming. I actually haven't tried it myself yet.
Cardboard. There it is.
So, and basically what it does is it, at least the way they described it. So, obviously, it's not
3D. It's an immersive.
So, it's a way to watch it while you're having your cardboard on your face.
They're just formatting it so you can watch it on the cardboard. Yeah, that's
Yeah, they said in their descriptor, as if you were at an IMAX movie theater
As if.
I feel like
that would give me a headache if I did.
No. Bob Ross on IMAX.
IMAX kind of gives me a headache as it is.
Yeah. So. There we go.
Okay.
All right, cool.
So moving on from that, we got an email, and this comes from Phil from England, who says, just thought I'd share my experience as I was in the same situation as Ron, looking to replace my aging Nexus 5. Getting a lot of people who are in the same situation.
Yeah.
My phone was in perfect condition, working well with Marshmallow and fast. The only problem was its battery life. I'm a power user and was having to top up the battery multiple times to make it last the day. I was all ready to upgrade to the new Nexus 5X until I read the reviews. Also, the Nexus 6 is too big for me, so not an option. I then had the idea of replacing the battery in my Nexus 5. I watched a few YouTube videos on the subject. It didn't look so difficult, so I ordered a new battery online. It took 5 minutes to swap the battery. I can't believe the difference is made. It feels like a new phone. I'm easily getting through the day without any charging. Maybe this would be an option for Ron to at least keep his Nexus 5 going until something else is available. Enjoy the show. Keep up the good work.
Until the next bit is available.
Thank you, Phil. So a little update on my side of things. So first off, last week I was complaining. I have been complaining about the battery, and I have thought about replacing the battery. I'm just lazy. But I was complaining about the Wi-Fi problem I was having at home where my phone wasn't connecting. And Alejandro on Twitter got back to me and said that he had the same problem, and what he had to do was he had to go into his network settings and reset all connections and then re-log into the router, and then it worked fine. Mm. So that was a good fix for there. But, you know, the other day a friend of mine asked me, they're like, why don't you get a new phone? Isn't it time for you to get a new phone? I was like, you know, you're right. Enough of this hemming and hawing. I should just pull the trigger, and I should just get the 5X, and I like the size. I'll go with it. I'm going to do it. And I haven't done it yet because I've just been busy. But that's where I'm at now. Where I'm like, I'll just get the 5X. So
you want to play a little game?
Ooh.
Huh?
I'm almost open to playing games.
You want to go somewhere unexpected?
Ooh, I like that.
You might not know how you're going to feel about this until you spend a week with the Nexus 6P.
Oh,
so I've got the review unit here. It's a little smudgy.
Gifts.
So I know that you're a little resistant to the 6P, but I think you need to spend a week with the 6P.
Wow.
Yeah.
And see what you think after a week.
I agree with Mr. Howell.
Really big.
I think you'll get used to it.
Yeah, I know.
I think
it's all black then.
Yeah, that really doesn't do it. There you go. So spend a week
wait,
with this.
Wait, hang on, hang on. Go wide, go wide, go wide, Brian. This is what I need to find out.
Oh, yeah, the back pocket test.
Well, no, not the back pocket, the front pocket test.
Oh.
That's okay. More what I'm worried about. Oh, it's not too bad.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. It's thin. Big.
Yeah, it's very thin.
It's big.
Ron, you'll like it.
You're going to like it.
I predict in a week you won't want to go back to a smaller phone.
All right, well, we'll see. So there you go, I'm sitting.
All right, don't bend it.
No, I don't. It is thin. I mean, I'm not aware of it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Just think of how much you could watch on that.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be great for watching Netflix in the car while I'm driving. I'm just kidding. All right.
Traffic's pretty bad.
I will take the challenge. I will take the Nexus 6P challenge, and next week I will report back. I will switch over, and I will use this for a week.
All right, but you got to commit.
I'm committed.
I've got a tool after the show. We can swap your sim.
Yep.
Your Nexus 5 suddenly is powered off.
We're
going to
do it here, and then you should hold the Nexus 5.
Yeah, I'll hold it hostage.
You should hold it hostage, yeah.
Just don't do that.
With a club.
Yeah.
Like,
all right, cool.
Better follow the rules.
Count me in. I'm doing
it. Cool.
Let's do it.
Excellent. I can't wait to hear what you think next week.
All right.
Week. We'll check
awesome.
It out.
Awesome. This is going to be fun.
One of us.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll be one of us.
You're a good man, Jason.
There's a magic world of goodies under Jason's chair. And in fact, he's going to get even more goodies for me as we thank our last sponsor of the episode. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Harry's. If you've watched the show before, you know how much of a fan I am of Harry's. Jason's going to be the model. Normally I'm the model.
I can be the model. But this stuff's really
proud. Member of the Harry's Army. I use it to shave every time I shave. And if you haven't heard yet, this month is Movember or Movember. There are a bunch of guys not shaving this month in support of research on men's major health issues. Harry is the official partner of the Movember Foundation and will be donating money and helping raise awareness for men's health. So whether you're growing your beard or want an amazing shave, Harry's is a company you can feel good about. And that's a fantastic organization to get involved with. I am shaving this month, but I support their efforts. Harry's.com was started by two guys who are passionate about creating a better shaving experience by delivering an amazing shave at an affordable price directly to your door. The guys at Harry not only deliver an amazing shave, but they also give 1% of their sales and 1% of their time back to the communities they serve. Harry's.com delivers a superior shave for an incredible price. It's so incredible, in fact, that they went to Germany and bought a razor factory that's been crafting some of the world's highest quality blades for almost a century. Harry sells its products at factory direct prices, so they only cost a fraction of the price of big brands. And in fact, that's why I switched to Harry's. I was tired of going to the supermarket and paying too much for razors. Harry's is an affordable option that I've never looked back after moving over to. And you could move over to it as well. It's Movember, so make the move to Harry's. Over 1 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. Join them. Their website is streamlined and easy to use. It takes less than 30 seconds to place an order with a great customer service experience. I've been using Harry's for months now. I have it set up so they automatically send me new razor blades and new shaving cream. I don't even need to think about it. You can get a subscription plan. It's fantastic. And they send you these great kits, as Jason was showing earlier.
I smell good right now, by the way.
You always
just saying. That's not
good. These great kits come with a razor handle that's got a great look and feel. It comes with 3 razor blades, a choice of either shave cream or foaming shave gel. I'm a shave gel kind of foaming shave gel kind of guy, and it's an excellent product. Their starter set, the Truman set, is an amazing deal. With the code AAA, you get all this for just $10. So listen, go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase with the code AAA. That's harrys.com, harrys.com, and enter code AAAAA at checkout. And we thank Harry's for their support of All About Android, as well as making me look so darn handsome.
Except the mutton chops. You don't shave the mutton chops.
I do not shave the mutton chops, in fact.
Hands off the mutton chops.
Yeah, since 1992.
So, really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's been a long time with these sizes.
So if you were to cut it away, would you be like tan all around here?
No, have little white things. The highest, I screwed up once and I ended up going like there a couple of years ago. And it was just horrible. But luckily enough, I'm a mutant and it grew back in like 3 days. So it's fine. So there you go.
I know not what you speak of. I grew a little bit there, a little bit there. That's about it. Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about something other than facial hair at this point, because I think it's
of which I have none. I'm proud to say.
That's it. If you like Harry's and you're a woman, I know women who have bought the Harry's razor as well too. Yeah,
men's razors are so much better than women's.
Yeah,
a good razor is a good razor.
Yeah,
it's all there is to it.
All there is.
Let's jump into the arena. So many
city enter, but only one lives. Android.
This is a close battle.
We are a tie.
Whoa.
I'm going down to the... Actually, I got it. We're going to give it to Open Camera.
By one vote.
By one Open. Vote. I had the dang win. It you, was mine all week.
Dom,
I was winning.
Wow.
Flash guest.
Text Expander had 37% of the vote. Open Camera, 37% of the vote. And Flight Trader, 24 Pro, 26%.
Really...
And I'm going to give it to Open Camera with 261. If you, Brian, if you scroll up and click above it, I think. Hit 704 votes.
The little link at the bottom of the
above
app
the
links.
Graphic. Above the graphic.
Right above the graphic.
Down. Right.
There you go.
Okay, and so scroll up. You can see TechSpan got 261.
Did it change?
And now hit that.
Now it changed. When you looked at it, it was TechSpan 260, right?
This is our first tie.
So do you guys both get?
I think you both get points.
We both get. Is that the ruling? We both get a win.
I don't know. It depends because you called it.
Literally, I called on my screen. It's 260, 261.
I think you got to go by when you looked at it.
Open camera with the upset.
Because they hear and then they go, then I'll change it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which we appreciate that you guys take sides like that, I suppose.
That's biased.
It's open camera. Open camera.
So the guest wins,
guest
right?
Wins. Yes. Yeah, guest gets the win.
Yes.
And then you got second, so you're the
second.
First loser.
Okay.
So then,
I go first, or
lost.
Right.
Yeah, you're the super loser.
So Flo
goes first.
Super loser.
I am the super loser.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's okay. It's
we
not
still
bad
love
as it
you,
sounds.
Flo. Thank you for the Android guy.
All right, super Thank loser, you. Go.
Jeez. Well, my app is Podkicker because for some reason nobody's talked about it on this show before. And granted, I know Google's like getting into podcasts, whatever, and there's like Pocket Casts, but I don't like all that noise. I like just something completely simple. Just get me my audio. Just get me my 90210, the Blaze podcast every Monday.
Fair enough.
That's all I want.
We all understand.
That's all I want. So if you'd like to follow me over here, camera. Hello, camera. This is Podkicker. So I paid for Podkicker Pro, which I think is like $3. I don't know, because I bought it like 5 years ago or something. Like, I've been using this app for so long, I don't know anything else. Just to give you a quick little look at my podcasts. I like BBC podcasts. I like this podcast from Real Housewife Heather Dubrow. She's from the Real Housewife of Orange County. And a bunch of other NPR stuff, naturally. But the reason I really like this app is because it's very simple. It's absolutely very simple. There's only 3 tabs. There's podcasts, episodes, so you can just see everything that's new. And downloads, so you can download your podcast and listen to it later. And then when you're done, you just hold down and you just delete it. It's so easy. And the reason I also like this particular app is because when you go to add a podcast, you can look for a podcast just by searching for the name, searching through the iTunes library if you can't find it, searching by RSS URL or OPML. It it has Chromecast support, which I actually haven't used before.
Excellent.
But I read that today on the Play Store description.
Nice.
So I just thought I would throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's Podkicker Pro. It's super freaking simple. Like that's it. That's all there is to it. What more do you need from a podcast app?
What more do you want from me? It's Podkicker Pro.
We don't need to complicate
How about some
things. Color? Huh? What?
How about some color?
You want some color. Everything is so colorful already. Material design is so colorful. Who needs that?
And it's free?
It's free, and then there's also a paid edition.
Got it. Yes. Oh, I see. Okay, so there's Podkicker for free. Podkicker podcast player for free. And then there's Podkicker Pro for $1.99. Got it.
Yes. Oh, it's $1.99 now. Or maybe it was always $1.99. I don't know, because I bought this like 3-4 years ago.
See? Well, there's something to be said for an app that you bought 3 or 4 years ago.
I'm still
Much
using it.
Much has changed since then.
Yeah.
Yet you still
But
stick
remember
with it.
I said earlier, I'm very hesitant to change.
Yeah.
I just don't like change.
Okay.
Which I don't think is in my Taurian nature, but I'm not sure about that part of my horse.
No, yeah, that is part of your Taurian nature because Tauruses are stubborn.
We fear change.
That's true.
Yeah, no, it's 100%.
Are you a Taurus too?
I am a Taurus.
Oh, wow. Anyway. Now on to your app, fellow Taurus.
Well, I get to go last. Jason's up next.
Yeah, Ron's the first loser. Let's see here. So, okay, so my app, I've been using a lot lately, and it can get me into trouble because when I see a good deal, it's hard for me to pass up on a good deal. Have you ever heard of Slick Deals? It's a website. It's basically like a community kind of contributed thing where everybody, you know, members of Slick Deals, they scour the web or they come across a certain deal. And if it's of a certain caliber, they post it there. Other people kind of pitch in, find coupon codes or whatever, kind of jump on it. And then next thing you know, you're getting like a $500, you know, sound bar with a satellite woofer. Whatever, for your living room. Woofer. And you get it for like $100 or whatever because they figured out how to get the price down and everybody jumps on that. It's a really good, and I think the timing of it is actually pretty good because we've got the holidays coming up here. Let me find it in my little apps list here. And I think it's designed actually pretty darn well.
Is it slick?
It's slick enough. So Google Chromecast streaming dongle, 2015 model, $28. At
that's $6 off.
There you go. See, and then you kind of scroll down. And it says on sale for $35, 20% off with the coupon code. It adds on equals $28. Shipping is free. So if you want a Chromecast, the new version of Chromecast, and you want to only pay $28 for it, you jump on this right now. You tap buy it now. It would take you through to the site. You use the coupon code. You do a little dance because you got it for cheaper than you would have got it otherwise. That's just one example. The cool thing about Slick Deals, so just to kind of show you real quick, they've got these different tabs, right? Like front page is where like the really good deals end up. And so if you have your notification set throughout the day, you'll get a notification of, you know, like this new thing hit the front page and you can see in your notification page like, oh, okay, I don't really care about, you know, a 30 pack of something or other, toilet paper or whatever. But it might end up being something that you do care about. For example, if you really wanted a Gearhead 1080p HD webcam for free,
wow,
you can get that at Tiger Direct.
Free? Get
there
it.
There you go.
What are you doing? Get that deal.
After rebate. So, right? Like, So this is free after rebate, but it's free. But you know what? I hate rebates, to be honest. Anyways, it's a good way to do that. Front page are like the really good ones. Popular are ones that a lot of the users are kind of moving on. And as you kind of go in, and what you're seeing right now are a lot of pre-Black Friday kind of deals appearing there, so you know kind of what the different places have ahead of time prior to Black Friday. You can go into more and you can set a deal alert. So like if you're in the market for a sound bar or I find like a board game or Blu-ray is a good one because often these Blu-rays for movies that you might want come up and they're like $4, like randomly just like $4. That's what you'd pay to rent it on Google Play or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you get a Blu-ray with a 3D version and a free digital download or whatever. And so it's like, okay, well, then I'll just buy it there instead. So you can use this to kind of monitor the service. And I think it's only a service like this is only as strong as its users. And it turns out that its users are really good at this. So things are hitting here all the time. And if you're in the market for things and you know you're going to buy a lot of gifts for the holidays coming up, this is a great way to kind of find really good spur of the moment things. Like the Knock'em Sock'em Robots or that
Rock'em Sock'em
Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I got that for $4 the other day.
Wow.
It's $20 board game I got for $4. I'm like, you know what? My kid's going to love that. And I'm going to love it. So there, $4 well spent. So there you go. Slick Deals. Maybe not the most amazing app in the world, but I'll tell you what, it's going to save you some money. And it's probably a good app for right now because I bet you're going to buy a gift or two leading up to the holidays. There you go. All right, Daniel. You've got an app that I think people are very curious about because it launched today. I've got it installed, so I'll try and show it off while you talk about it.
Yeah, based on the incredible response that this company's other two Android apps have garnered, I really think this is going to win the Android app arena. This is Apple Music. Apple Music is the service that Apple launched back in June, and was it June? Yeah, I think it was June.
Mm-hmm.
And it is available today on Android as a beta. So if you have a subscription to it, you can log in with your iTunes account. You can sign up for an individual account as well, but you can't sign up for their family plan on this version right now. But if you have a family plan, you can log in. So the family plan is $15 for six people. The individual is not, $10 for one. And it's a really nice app, actually. It's it looks very similar to the iOS version, but it's got a couple of material design flares that I think are really considerate, considering that Android or Apple really did not have to design a decent music app for Android. Like they really could have just cobbled something together and said that, you know, this is what we're doing and never updated it again. But really, they wanted, I mean, I believe them when they say they want as many people to sign up for this service as possible, because the division under Eddie Q that runs Apple Music is kind of independent from the hardware division. They want you to buy an Apple product. They want you to buy an iPhone. But at the end of the day, Eddie Q just wants you to sign up for Apple Music. He doesn't really care what you're using. And opening up to Android means that he can get to millions of people in countries around the world that never would have even thought about owning an iPhone. So the best thing that I like about this, and if you use Spotify, if you use RDO, if you use any of these other streaming apps, the For You tab is really cool, because once you give it a few artists or a few albums that you like or a few genres, it will then curate a bunch of playlists for you, and they're actually really good. And then it'll suggest some albums, some artists that you may not have heard of. And if you like Spotify's weekly discovery playlist, there's a lot of them like that. And these are curated by editorial directors, so they have people who are actually putting these together, and they're pretty knowledgeable about music. The one thing that I don't think they have done as well as the others is offer a bunch of different streaming bit rates. So I think there's no streaming. I correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no streaming bit rate options. You have to stick with what they give you. And there's no music videos in this beta version, but that's coming later. So that's Apple Music.
It's a nice looking app, I got to say.
They did it. I mean, could you imagine if they had made this app and made it so iOS-y, Apple-y, you know, and you know, like they had to come over to our side a little.
Yeah, they want you to give them money for their service.
Right, yeah,
they're
exactly,
like, you probably have a Mac.
Yeah.
So if you have a Mac, but you'd rather have an Android, you could still use iTunes and do this whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, good song. Oh, this song. This album is
that's
just
a great song.
Fantastic.
One thing that's kind of cool, if you have a Mac and
I'm going to cry.
If you ever,
that song kills me.
Sorry. What are you saying, Dan? Okay. Sorry, we're over here weeping.
Oh, man.
Band of Horses does that to us.
I love you.
What were you going to say?
If you have a Mac or an iPad and you've uploaded a bunch of songs to iCloud or iTunes in the cloud or what they're calling it now, I think iCloud Music Library, or if you sign up for iTunes Match, you actually have the ability to listen to all of those songs. So there are some artists like the Beatles that aren't available on any streaming service, including Apple Music. But if you've uploaded your own albums to that using iCloud, you can actually listen to them in the My Music app or My Music tab, which is neat. So I discovered that today, and now I have all my Beatles on my Android devices, which is awesome.
Nice. Yeah, I uploaded all of my Beatles to Play Music, so I've got them in there, kind of integrated.
Right.
But yeah, that's great. Yeah, and then of course you get the Beats one, which is what we're taking a look at right now. As well. So you get 90 days for free. You have to give them a credit card, and you're basically authorizing them to charge after the 90 days unless you cancel. So keep that in mind.
It's Beats One is hit and miss, and they have a bunch of cool features, but it's really what's going to be really interesting is, are they going to update this regularly? Because we know that Google updates Play Music regularly with new features, and Spotify is updated all the time with great new features on Android. So if they let this kind of stagnate a little, I think that it'll very quickly become not a great experience. But if they keep it updated, then, you know, who knows? It may get some Android users onto the Apple train.
or maybe not.
I don't think they won't update it. I think they'll keep it updated. They want money. If you give them money, they'll take care of you.
It's a good incentive.
That's what Apple does. If you give them money, they're like, come with us. We take care of you.
One of us. Cool. There we go. Apple Music, free-ish. Free for a little bit. Yeah, me?
Okay.
I like it.
No, I'm excited. Nice. It is a really nice app.
I'm going to spend some quality time with it.
At least they're showing blur in the product shots. That's pretty cool.
There we go.
All right.
What you got, Ron?
All right, so we're going to go back into the All About Android vault. And for those of you who were longtime viewers of the show back in the OG days, you might remember I had a certain fascination for not only for launchers, but for 3D launchers. And what was great back then was that 3D launchers were really, they tried to be really different, but the devices and the processing power wasn't there. And it always ended up being this awkward, weird thing. I'm happy to say that 3D launchers have come a long way. And one that caught my eye is Shine Launcher 3D, which is a replacement launcher. So you replace the Google launcher within your device. And, here, this is pretty simple in that, I'm rotating through the different screens. But you might notice there's lots of animations.
Whoa.
This app is crazy. It's crazy town, all right? Because I'm going to start at the tray down here. So I can update and change the apps in the tray. If I want to change the size of the icons, I don't know why you'd want to, but I could do that.
Oh, okay. Sure, you can fit more down there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You can make it full size, but let's say I just want my tray to go away. It's gone. There you go.
Bye.
And so then what's even more fascinating is I'm going to go through – so the different transition effects,
jeez,
there's nearly like over 20 of these, right? And I'm just going to show some of them. So, you want the standard kind of rotating from screen to screen. You got that. But let's say you want something more, with a little more flair. It can do a little flip. Maybe you're more of a cylinder kind of person. So there's a little cylinder spin.
Oh, tornado.
Right? I'm definitely a page turner.
Maybe there's a page turner. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got little flip modes. And it just keeps on going. There's fades.
Are there any Canadian flag transitions?
There are no Canadian flag transitions, unfortunately.
That's too bad.
We depend on Brian for those. So not only does that, so you can choose your favorite transition, or you could just have them be nice.
Thank you.
You can choose to just have them be random. So if you just want to have random, you can have a different transition every time you're using it. That's pretty neat. You can also change the transition for the app draw to show your apps in a different way.
Do it.
Come on. Boom. There you go. And you can also change what happens when you click on an app. So you can make it kind of, right?
Is fun.
This is cool. It's
like Pixar of launchers.
Insane. Yeah, right? There's different ways to manipulate the menus. What's fascinating is that when you download a new app, you can set it on fire, or you can give a little spinning banner, or give a little dot so you know that this is a new app that you need to try, right? And you can change the color, or you could just go to the default and have it be set on fire.
It's like the blink tag of launchers.
It's insane. it's got it comes stock with some neat little 3D widgets, like some clock widgets and things like that. Right. It just goes on and on and on. The levels that you can manipulate and alter your device are just crazy. Right. So there's the effects. There's the docks. You can change the wallpaper. There's a little side menu here where I can pull out. I can swipe left, and it's hard to do it when I'm demoing. Yeah, there you go. Swipe left, and there's a bunch of apps. You can customize what's on that kind of menu. So, it just gives you ridiculous amounts of things that you can customize. But also what you can do is what I find is really interesting, is that you can, when you're placing on the apps, you can go up here and you can choose to give me the reference grid. And there's no rules around snapping to the grid, so I can put apps wherever I want. It basically gives you that freedom that the Google launcher doesn't give you.
You can
now
overlap.
That is freedom. Yes.
Yeah. You can also specify the different screens.
Wow.
It's crazy. And it is so smooth.
I was
going to
ask, how is it on the performance on your Nexus 5?
It's not even missing a beat. Yeah. Totally it just works. Yeah. But also what's neat is that if you go into the themes, you can customize fonts.
You can design icons. You can change icon themes. You can change the way folders and contacts. It's such a granular level of customization. This is more than just a simple launcher. This is just a true customization of what you do, of your entire phone, if you have the time to do that.
The developer of this was like, I must animate everything.
Right. Yeah, exactly. you can lasso together. There's a lasso mode where you can, if you need to collect a bunch of apps, you can draw. And I can't do, yeah, lasso mode. There we go.
Oh, so like now, to delete them?
Just to do any of them, to arrange them, to do multi-chest, to gather them, to delete them, to create a folder amazing. Out of them. It's
right, this is officially the greatest app of all time.
It's insane. Yeah, it's insane. So Shine Launcher 3D, I'm just literally touching the tip of the iceberg on this, but there's a lot more in here. So go check it out. Watch their demo. They got a pretty good video. And you too can have it for free. So
it's free.
Check that
for
out.
For free. Yep. Shine Launcher 3D.
It's crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah, that's like old school Ron app.
It's old
right
school
there.
Ron app, but like they've matured. Yes. Like, you know, the 3D launcher has finally come to fruition. So mm-hmm. yeah. So I like the more you see, the problem is that like when Android first came out in All About Android Year One, we had a lot of ridiculous apps. There were ridiculous keyboard apps, ridiculous launchers, and the dust has kind of settled, and now we're kind of like, oh, this is how you do it.
Now they've refined their ridiculousness.
Exactly, and now I just want it to go crazier. I just want more crazy.
Oh, it'll happen. Yeah, so. It's part of the Android ethos. Just how it goes.
One would hope.
Place your vote for your favorite app from this week's episode. Is it Podkicker, Slick Deals, Apple Music, Shine Launcher 3D? Go to AAApoll.com/239 and let your voice be heard. And we'll check in on it next week. Let's see here. I'm going to do a quick refresh just to see. And, okay. Shine Launcher 3D, 40%. Everything else, 20%. It's really anyone's game.
It really is.
As it always is at this time of the week.
I think it's Ron's game.
We'll see. I thought I had it last week. You never know. I lost this
you
week.
Never
so.
Know.
No, you were tied.
Week.
No, we gave it to the camera app. It
no,
was,
but,
I lost.
You know,
it wasn't a tie. I lost.
I don't want you to go to sleep tonight thinking about it.
Trust me, I think I'm still winning, so I'm all right. All right. I'm doing okay. All right. Honestly, Flo, you joining the show might have been the best thing for my win-loss record. Knock on wood.
All right. That's it.
Cool.
I think you can put a fork in us, but
yep.
Please don't put a fork in me. That hurts.
That would hurt, but we are done. Daniel Bader, always a pleasure getting you on the show. Thank you so much for coming back and sharing your Android insights with us.
Oh, guys, I love being on the show. Thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. Anytime. What are you working on? What do you want people to know about?
Well, I run Mobile Syrup, so that's my life. I will be up late tonight working on something very cool that you'll find out about very shortly. So can't really say more than that. But
ooh, tease. Cool. Very shortly.
Yeah. I like
that
it.
That could be literally any day.
It may or may not be the OnePlus X.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right. I'm pretty sure it's not.
It's not, but could be.
Okay. All right. Good enough. That works for me. Thanks again, Daniel. Really appreciate it.
Thanks again.
Flo, what about you?
I've got a lot of stuff coming up. I've restarted my Android Influencer series, so I've got a couple of interviews in the pipeline now that I've actually had time to do them. OnePlus X review will be up next week, so I'll be working on that this week. And then this week I'm also working on my 6 months with the Galaxy S6 Edge and just my impressions of using that phone for the last 6 months as my daily driver and why I eventually switched the Nexus 6P.
Mm.
So
that's a signal.
And who knows, I might end up writing a little bit about my fiance's transition from Windows phone to Android.
Ooh. and the deception that it started with.
I mean, that's just like everybody can do, well, I switched from iPhone to Android, blah, blah, blah. But there's a pretty big thing happening with Windows. Yeah. Trying to
there is
know.
This movement.
They're trying.
Such a mania.
They're trying and.
So my question is, when do you profile Jason and I as Android influencers?
Ooh, that's a good question.
If you have to ask, you're not really an influencer. That's the secret. That's the secret. So, are you good? Have you promoted everything?
Yeah.
All right.
What did I forget to promote?
The new screensaver.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You're going to be on the new screensavers,
right? Sorry, I completely forgot about that. Yes, I'm going to be on the new screensavers on 11/21.
So
it's the Saturday, weekend before Thanksgiving, right?
Yes, yeah. The weekend before Thanksgiving. So if you have any questions to ask me, Jason, where can people ask me questions?
That's what I'm scrambling trying to find. I got this note that was like, make sure and mention to the email address. New screensavers at twit.tv. Okay, so here's the call to action. That's what you call this.
In the biz.
Flo's going to be on the new screensavers in a couple of weeks. If you didn't know by now, she's kind of like a deal with Android and stuff. If you have any Android questions, email newscreensavers@twit.tv. Email your questions. You might answer it on
Thank you, Mr. Howell.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Anytime.
For calling.
I'm happy
to that
I was
action.
Able to find that email address buried where it should be on the sink.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers.
There we go.
Do you need my tech help?
newscreensavers@twit.tv.
Nice.
Look at that. Not only that, you got a bumper.
I
good
know.
One.
I don't have to.
I kind of feel like Gordon Ramsay should have come in during that for some reason. I don't know.
Well, still. Still working on that guest.
He's busy. We are in Petaluma.
Isn't he a chef?
I'm just making a shout out to Gordon Ramsay. If you want to be on the new screensavers on 11/21, I'm going to be
here.
It's
an open invite.
I will let you curse at me. If you want to tell me it's raw, I'll be here. Petaluma.
Forward to that. New screensavers at twit.tv. Send your questions there. Ron, what about you?
All right, yeah. You can go to about.me/RonXO where you can find all the links to my Google Plus and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all fun stuff like that. And by day, I'm over at Drop, working at getdrop.com. And if you're looking for another podcast, check out either iFanboy at ifanboy.com or Goodfellas Minute at goodfellasminute.com where we're analyzing the Martin Scorsese film Goodfellas 1 minute at a time. So we
a lot of minutes.
Today was minute 37 came out. So we're moving up. We're half an hour into the movie. So this is my life until April. So there you go.
And how are you feeling about your life until April?
Well, we're currently recording to get ahead, so we don't need to record during the holidays. So we're doing double recordings per week. So I'm doing 10 episodes a week now, and so yeah. Listen, when it's the holidays and I don't need to record anything, it'll be beautiful. Yeah, exactly. Check it out. We're very excited about it. So
I understand that, Brian. What about you?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo, and I do a how-to show with Padre on Thursday. You can check that out.
You're well lit.
I am well lit. Oh, that's right, because...
Oh, you're showing off the beard?
Movember. You know what? I used my Harry's kit like 2 days ago, and now I have to use it again.
Yeah.
It grows back fast.
That's all it took was 2 days? What?
Wow. Yeti over there.
I drink a lot of scotch. I think it helps.
Is that what I need to do? Because this is about as
I'll bring
facial
you some
hair I could ever
there.
Get. Scotch. I'll have to remember that.
But I also work on the new screensavers, which you hosted last week, Jason. Good job, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah. That was a different type of show.
It's fun. I did it in October. I did it, remember, in early October.
Yeah. Leo was out. So I was filling in for Leo with Scott Wilkinson, Home Theater Geek. So he was here in studio with me. And it was a lot of fun. It was a different type of show. We had a great time. Spoke with the founder of Sub Pop.
Right. Wow. Yeah. That's not bad. Yeah. Is he the guy working in the airport?
He's doing a
no, it's the
audio format.
It's the
eight stem.
The drummer of Screaming Trees works in the Sub Pop store in the airport.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. And Brian, thanks for taking it easy on me during that report.
Yeah, no problem. You definitely acclimated to it quickly, considering you didn't know how the format went exactly. It's not easy to just jump in like that.
Considering I threw to a bumper at the very top of the show that didn't exist waited awkwardly for it to play. I went, I guess there is no bumper.
It was
there.
Fun.
Yeah, it was a little awkward, but that's okay. We got that out of the way. As for the show and for me, I guess, you can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Find my music at yellowgoldmusic.com if you like. Check out my other Android show, Android App Arena, twit.tv/arena. This week's episode is all about root level apps. I rooted my Nexus 5, found a couple of awesome root level apps, and they're all going to be on tomorrow's show, so you should check it out. But as for All About Android, that's it. We're done. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. We are on Twitter. It's at Android Show. We're on Google Plus. We have a community there. Just search for All About Android. You can find show notes. We also have all of our past episodes at our show page at twit.tv/AAA. You can find all of our episodes on YouTube and iTunes, of course, as well as everywhere else. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, guys.
Apple Music time.
Really? Mm-hmm.